You're listening to episode 1 of She's a Super Geek, the live play RPG podcast highlighting women as GMs. I'm Senda, and on today's episode, my co-host Emily and I are joined by Kat Murphy of the One Shot Podcasting Network and Travis Parker of Golden Griffin Games. Before we get to the show, I'd like to apologize for some interesting audio artifacts in Kat Murphy's recording. We always knew she was really a transformer. Live play RPG podcast. I'm Senda.
And I'm Emily. We're going to be playing Fate Accelerated Edition today, but first, let's meet our guests. So, Travis, you're from Golden Griffin Games.
Golden Griffin Games is basically just a side little company that I've done for 2 or 3 years now. Some pretty small, portable, quick and easy, fun little games. Only have about 3 or 4 out at the moment.
And where can they find those games if they were looking for them?
Well, goldengriffingames.com is one good spot. DriveThruRPG also has PDFs of everything.
And we also have Kat Murphy.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So you do, like, everything on the internet.
Yeah, no, exactly. I do everything on the internet. All internet. All me. Actually, what I do, though, I am the co-creator of the One Shot Podcasting Network, and which is at oneshotpodcast.com, where we have primarily 2 actual play games. So games just like this one. One that focuses on doing one-shot of a random system a month, hosted by my best friend James D'Amato, and one called Campaign that is a long-form campaign set in Star Wars Edge of the Empire that I host. I don't know. We do other stuff. We're around.
You're also working on your own RPG called Epiphany, yes?
I am, yes. Again, James and I, we are working on Epiphany, which is a story game that's about capturing magical realism stories like Groundhog Day. We basically love Groundhog Day a lot and wanted to make a game that was about that. It's a multiple GM, one player system. We think it's kind of fun. That's going to be under our label, Paracosm Press. So I hear you, Travis, on the small press route. It's a fun thing for nights and weekends. Yep, that's me.
So we're going to be playing Fate Accelerated. Some might be more familiar with the Fate Core Edition. Fate Accelerated is a little bit slimmed down, and the biggest difference is instead of having things that you're good at, like you're very good at driving or you're very good at, I wanted to say cooking, but that's probably not a skill most people choose in Fate. But shooting a gun or whatever, you have ways that you're good at approaching challenges. And so if you're really strong, you can be really good at approaching things forcefully, which can translate into any number of actual actions. And so we have 3 different characters that, 3 different PCs that have 3 different main approaches. And we're going to be doing some of our character creation now here on the podcast, live for those of us on the podcast, not live for those of you listening later. I'll ask, who wants to be put on the spot first to do a little bit of character creation?
Senda.
Yeah, you are Senda. Absolutely allowed to put me on the spot. Totally.
Senda is playing our pilot.
I'm playing the pilot. Her name is Adelaine, and she is an adrenaline junkie hotshot pilot.
So Adelaine, her high concept is being an adrenaline junkie hotshot pilot. So that means that any point during the game when that's probably a good thing to have in your background, Senda will get a +2 to a roll of the dice. What's called invoking that aspect. So then we have Trouble, which is a different kind of aspect, which I get to play with as the GM more. So Senda, what kind of trouble does Adelaine have, our hotshot adrenaline junkie?
I think that she got into smuggling probably because doing flashy piloting moves while trying to escape, say, legal forces that might be after you is probably a pretty decent adrenaline high. So I think that her trouble may actually be that she
kind of goes looking for trouble because she likes escaping it. Because that's how she gets her adrenaline kick. So I think she likes the near misses a little bit too much. So I'm going to go ahead and say my trouble is maybe looks for trouble. How would you like me?
Your trouble is literally your trouble.
My trouble is that I like trouble.
All right. And Travis, our brains, do you have a name for your character, hopefully?
Yeah, let's call him Zachary. So I guess high concept for Zach would be he's kind of the witty hacker cracker on board. You know, if we're going to be needing to slip by systems and there's a lot of tech to be dealt with, then he's enjoys getting through it. Trouble, well, kind of owes a sizable sum to a gambling guild. Owes is kind of a weird term because he just kind of hacked into their systems and downloaded the credits. But even though he was good enough to pull off that hack, he wasn't good enough to also prevent the security systems from pegging him. So they know who their man is, unfortunately.
So owes is a very gentle term for they're going to track you down and take this back by force, if necessary.
Yeah, they'll get it however they can, yeah.
Yeah, break your kneecaps, whatever.
Yeah.
Wanted.
Whatever sci-fi gangsters would do.
The question is, though, do I still have the credits?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I don't know.
We might have to find out. Playing through the scenario.
All right, and Kat, you're playing our bronze.
Yes, I'm playing Lulu. She is from an all-female warrior planet, I suppose. Yeah, originally. And she has a small Etsy-style business selling custom weapons to people.
Oh, that's amazing.
She did pretty well for a long time on her planet, but, you know, wasn't anything really special. And then Adelaine burst into her life one day, getting them into as Adelaine is wont to do, getting them into a lot of trouble, and then saving Lulu from it, which activated Lulu's cultural life debt. So she is now running around the galaxy in debt to Adelaine.
I love this. I now love this.
And so is that your trouble, that you have this life debt?
I have a life debt, yeah.
I like that term.
Yeah, I think life debt to me would be a problem.
It sounds like a problem, yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It sounds like you might have to follow Adelaine, which probably means getting yourself into more trouble.
Whoops.
I like that term.
Don't worry, we always get out, right?
Yeah. So far.
All right, so we know how Lulu and Adelaine met. Zachary, how did you get hooked up with these two?
That's a good question. I'm open to ideas.
Really good Christmas.
I still wait on their ship to escape from the guild.
Oh, there you go. Good.
Because I was like doing the space equivalent of like crop dusting with my spaceship, like crop dusting the gambling people, just to see if I could get a rise out of them. And didn't notice that I picked up a stowaway.
And since then, I've hopefully been proving my worth to the crew.
What do you guys smuggle?
We might smuggle information. Ooh. I don't know, because we have a pretty awesome hacker. I think maybe before I picked up this hacker, maybe before I picked up Zachary, I was just kind of at loose ends and just kept trying to make trouble, ending up equivalent of like maybe a petty thief, like not enough to go after, but kept like getting into those situations and having those narrow misses. And I was like, oh, I need to find a way to make a living doing this. And then I was like, oh, look, a fantastic like super hacker. We could be selling all kinds of information across the galaxy. This is going to be great.
It's kind of like Elizabeth I when Martin Luther popped onto the scene. Oh, thank God. Here's a reason to do what we're doing. Sorry.
Wow, okay. History nerd.
Wow.
History nerd.
Says the other history major. Sorry. Oh my gosh.
I think that's great. You found this stowaway and you're making great use of
it. I'm totally, I'm basically have told him that if we don't keep picking up new information that we can sell for top dollar, then I'm totally going to boot him off the ship. And then, you know, Casino will probably just track him down real quick. And that'll be that. Right. I am a horrible person.
Well, your character's a horrible person.
I'm speaking in character when I say
that. Of course.
Clarify. Oh, I think that Senda's a very nice person. But this Adelaine, I don't know about her.
So you smuggle information. So who do you normal smuggle information to? Or is it just the highest bidder?
I suppose the money might be good for the occasional corrupt politician, but that seems kind of risky. Yeah, it's probably more selling corporate secrets, maybe, things like that. Selling them to their rivals.
Yeah, I think I probably have a bit of a moral compass that you guys defy. Hmm. I think I'd want us to either sell to people that we view as, you know, good people. Turns out that typically isn't actually the case, or us to have a stance that's like, we sell to the highest price point, or we agree beforehand and then we always deliver on that thing, that sort of thing, you know? That's whichever morality thing appeals more to you guys, I'll have that.
We're going to smuggle, but we're going to do it with a moral code. I love
here's
it.
Here's another.
It's very fair.
Another option, perhaps.
Most smugglers do have their own kind of moral code.
If for some moral reason we don't feel like the information should be transferred or smuggled, perhaps we could also offer the options of accessing such information for the purposes of destroying it.
See, I don't care as long as we
make money. Or have excitement.
As long as we're making money and, you know, not being bored. That's
really the excitement.
Yeah, so what if we maybe we contract specifically with people and then we basically make good on those contracts.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, so Lulu, with your moral compass, who would be your favorite contact that you have then? Because you guys have been, you know, let's say you've been doing this for a while. You've built up a network.
Yeah, let's see. So I think my favorite is actually back on my home planet. Her name is, I guess, Britannia. And Britannia's deal, she's pretty, like, one, we're an honorable people, so I suspect that she makes good use of the information. But two, she also sells me nice weapon parts. You know, she, like, keeps things to the side when she sees them, nice filigree. So I get to restock whenever I go back home, which is big for me because nobody else seems to care about my Etsy other than a few contacts.
We have made, you know, detours so that you could drop things off, right? I mean,
not detours so much as desperate running from the law, but sure.
The product got there, right? I support you
somehow
in my own way, my own special way.
Right? Just to review what I got so far: high concept, witty, hacker cracker, trouble, stole from the gambling guild, and third aspect, tad of a show off, a little bit prideful of abilities, but I'm careful enough to where I won't, you know, showboat if it's a dangerous situation, usually.
So, I think that Adelaine's aspect that we'll work with for today is, I think that one of the things she's really good at doing, because she is pretty flashy, I think one of the ways that she gets out of a lot of the situations that she tends to get herself into, and her companions, by means of being on the same ship, is that she's good at using some of that flash to basically distract people, so that she can make her getaway. So I think that she's basically good at distracting people? Question mark?
Now, do me a favor, just a little bit more specific. When you say distracting people, where are we going with this? Do you mean that you, like, carry around a fake gun and, like, you know, it has a little bang thing on the end, you distract people by that? Or are you talking about, like, you know, your shirt pops open, distracts people. What kind of distraction? Just any kind of distraction?
I think that I think what it boils down to is that she has a really good sense of showmanship. And so in the moment, she can choose whatever like thing might draw people's attention from what's really going on. So whether that means that she suddenly starts pretending she's in a show instead of trying to fly in a high-speed chase and then manages to duck behind, like, a meteor or something like that, or if it means that, you know, she's trying to prevent people from finding Zachary as he's hacking into something and suddenly she's, like, I don't know, doing magic or, like... Woo! Open the jacket, whatever it is. I think she has a knack for knowing what that thing is that will make people go, wait a minute, what just happened? And then she's gone. Or like, you know.
I love it, yes. All right, and Lulu.
So I think Lulu is really vain. Like really, really vain. This manifests like on the ship in her doing a lot of like makeup tutorials and trying to experiment on the crew all the time. But in terms of combat, she always waits for the moment where she's going to look the coolest. It's not so much like, it's not really about showmanship for other people's. It's all for Lulu.
So Lulu's going to wait to save me until somebody's hands around my neck, basically.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking she was going to be trigger happy, and I'm like, nah, that's no fun. The opposite.
I love
the
it.
The opposite. Somebody's choking out somebody, and you're like, eh, that's not going to look awesome.
That's not good enough yet. Yeah, it's all not right. dramatic yeah. enough.
Wait until I'm on the cusp of passing out.
Then the flying leap.
It's the hero moment.
Yeah.
I love that. That makes me really happy. So sometime in the future, in a galaxy far, far away. Oh, one more thing. Hold on. What's the name of your ship?
Oh, my gosh. What's the name of our ship? Jenga Rainbow.
Jenga Rainbow.
How about...
But I'm not in love with it, so we're from there.
Opaque Rainbow.
How about, like, That's the Rainbow little... Spyglass?
The Rainbow Spyglass?
Love it.
I like the Rainbow Spyglass.
Rainbow Spyglass. We're smugglers of information that nobody knows about on the ship, the Rainbow Spyglass.
You know what? It's my ship. I'm very flashy, so I find this to be very appropriate.
Right. Look at all of these ships. Which one could possibly be the smuggler?
It's the one that's painted like Rainbow Bright, vomited on it.
Yes.
So you have received a transmission a few days ago from Britannia. Asking you to meet her in an off the main track planet at a small little cafe that she has some information she thinks that you'll be able to find a buyer for. And so you have landed on this dusty alien planet and easily found this cafe. It's a pretty well-trafficked cafe with, you know, lots of different, you know, aliens and humans of different kinds. You know, there's a big bar in the center. And there's a small group of musicians off to the side playing a song that sounds something to the point of da 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 da. And it's just that, just looped over and over and over again.
That's my jam.
That, yeah.
That jizz music, it's the best.
That's some hot jizz.
Because they're aliens and they only know one song.
It's making the circuit in the planets, yes.
Yes,
it's been on the charts for years.
For a long time. Because you said this one's in the future.
Yes, this is in the future. What happened is it went away and it came back.
Okay.
It's like swing music in the 90s.
It's the jizz revival. Yeah.
Yes.
It's the jizz revival. But this is nowhere near planet Amazonia, and you look around and you don't see Britannia yet, but you do see a lot of various kinds of activity.
Well, I know Lulu's probably got the actual contact situation under control because I'm I'm whatever, but I'll probably just wander up to the bar and sort of elbow my way through the crowd, not really worried if I make anybody angry. And And order some of that alcoholic blue milk.
I'll find a shadow, but I'll keep an eye on him.
You'll find a shadow? Well,
I don't want to be front and center. I mean, I'll keep an eye on my crewmates, you know, just in case anything goes down.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to, you know, kind of, you know, try to avoid people and be off, be a wallflower a little bit here.
Cool. Then I'm going to make eye contact with Zachary and, like, give him the hand signal that we've worked out that means, like, watch my back, make sure that nothing's going wrong. And then take my apothecary bag full of gun parts and start just walking around the place looking for her, seeing if I know if I see her or if I know anyone who isn't her that would raise a red flag on this scenario.
Well, you do see this is there's a lot of shifty people. Mm-hmm. There's a group in a corner arguing about who shot first. And you think to yourself, you shouldn't get involved in that. That's going to be a long argument. It might have been going on for thousands of years. Send us the Star Wars person. I'm sorry. Not
no,
me.
It's hilarious and it's great.
I'm doing my best.
I just noticed your shirt, Senda. It's so cool. I love that comic. It's so cute. Or I guess they're just drawings, but it's, yeah, adorable.
But she's, for those,
yeah, for those who can't see, it's the Han and Chewie, Calvin and Hobbes, which is, God, that's the cutest darn thing.
But you do see there's a group of people in, for lack of a better term, mafia style seating, you know, up against their, you know, the what looks to be the main guy, his back's up against the wall, and they kind of raise your, this is a shifty place, but these people are super shifty, meter.
Cool.
Is that a meter? Sure, yeah.
They look pretty serious, huh?
Yeah. Cool. So I'm going to go up to them. Hey, gents. Guns for the discerning gentleman. Anyone looking to buy a weapon? I see you have some nice shoes there, sir, and I have something that could match them.
So the guy with his back up against the wall, of course, has a fedora tilted down. And he kind of sits back and he kind of tilts his fedora up, and he's got a significant facial scar kind of around his eyebrow and down on his chin, kind of in a half moon pattern, which you don't know if you think you would have remembered if you've met this guy before. You don't think that you have.
Sure.
Yeah. And he says, what kind of guns you got, sweetie?
You want to go somewhere where we can't, I mean, I could sell here. I don't know this bar that well, though. I slide the bag onto the table and open it for him. It's great, by the way. The whole thing is, like, satin lined and it has fold out compartments that have all of the guns.
It's got your branding and your logo on the side.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Luxury by Lulu.
What are your business's colors?
So I think I'm albino, as are all of my people. So it's mostly pastels, but that's all the branding. The guns, you know, you have to cater to different clientele, so they run the gamut. There's right. bright colors, and then there's a lot of, I specialize in metal work, so there's lots of things with combined alloys.
I'm just imagining this guy looking in, and the first thing he sees is, like, this tiny little, like, pastel pink and, like, green swatch of a, like, laser pistol. That's
oh, yeah, no, it's like a Derringer that's, like, Lily Pulitzer patterned. Yeah. Yeah,
you
so
seem to be approaching this fairly, do you think, cleverly?
Yeah, well, I think, yes, I think I'm being clever. I am trying to get a bead on what their deal is, make sure that they're not trying to interrupt the thing my friends are doing, and covering that with my business, my very legitimate business operations. So I have plus zero to that. This is not going to be great. Let's see how it goes. Plus
oh,
one.
Oh, hey.
Not great. Not bad.
I fully admit one of the things I love about Fate is that the math is not difficult. You have pluses to things, and then you roll four dice. and they have either pluses, minuses, or neutrals on them, and then you add and subtract accordingly. It's one of my favorite things about the system.
Yeah.
So you got a plus one, which is average. And so these guys, and they're all, of course, dressed a bit similarly, but the closer you look at them, you've realized that that most of the people around the table might be some sort of, maybe you think clones or perhaps very close relatives. Mm. You assume that they're all sort of henchmen of this one, the guy with the scar who looks very different. And he'll snap at one of the guys, and he'll, one of the henchmen will get up and give you his seat. Mm. And then sort of take a step back and sort of cross his arms and hover in a protective manner.
Sure. So I like flirtatiously slide in and then start explaining benefits of the various guns. And this one has a triple silencer, which is so much better than a double silencer. I mean, you think a double silencer is going to be enough, but the triple's where it's at. And just talk his ear off about that for as long as he lets me, seeing if he's really engaging or if he's trying to look around the room to see other stuff.
He's kind of got, you know, he's listening to you, but he's got his eye on what else is going on as well.
Cool.
Zachary, are you watching all of this?
Oh, yes. I'm trying to decide whether I should. I'd imagine that Zachary would have some sort of little kind of remote hacking personal computer PDA/smartphone device to fiddle around with occasionally. I can't decide if this establishment might have some sort of system that I could browse around in and see if there's anything interesting. For example, perhaps I could fiddle with the lighting to help Lulu's presentation get dramatic and flashy, have these colored spotlights come around and display her wares. Would that be reasonable to see if I might be able to PDA hack into the surrounding environment?
That sounds like you're trying to do something flashy.
I agree. In order to try to create an advantage.
Oh, in order to
create for Lulu. Does that seem reasonable?
That does seem reasonable. So this is a place with some rough and tumble people. So they actually do have a security system. It's not a great system, but it's pretty good. So you're going to need a plus three or better to be able to hack into it and manipulate it.
Okay. And we're flashy?
Yeah. Flashy, yeah. I think.
All right. I got a plus two on flashy. Okay, we got a minus one and a plus one. Cancel those out. And two zilches. So the dice completely cancel out, and I'm left with my natural plus two flashy. I'll use a fate point. Yay. Plus two.
All right. What are you invoking? The fact that you're a hacker?
Or my third aspect, the being a bit of a show-off. Let's just go with the hacker one. That makes more sense since you commented that they kind of have a defensive network there.
Yeah, it's a little shifty place, you know? It's like in the Blues Brothers where they go sing at that bar where they throw bottles so there's chicken wire. Right. It's kind of like that. Timely reference, Emily. So yes, you're able to manipulate, and you will create an advantage for that Lulu can call on.
Great.
Or or you.
Yeah, we can all use
anybody can call on it. So,
it's a new aspect of the place, I guess.
Yeah, the new aspect of the place is that all the lighting is happening on Lulu. The aspect is all lights on Lulu, right? There we go.
Yeah,
we
got all it. Lights we on Lulu. It.
All lights on Lulu.
But yeah, Adelaide, you totally do see the bartender, though, notice that, and kind of go, why are the lights all on that there?
Hey! Hey! Fill this up, dude! What's up? Come on, man!
It's not empty, miss.
I don't care! There's not enough in it. I've spent a lot of time with cats, and the thing is, when you get down to about here, it's the same as nothing, so just fill it up.
So he fills your glass up. He kind of leans over the bar and he's like, so you're into cats then?
Yeah!
Why, are you into cats? Take a drink. Kind of like lean over the bar at him. Hey, so would I know what Britannia looks like? Is she, so she would also be an albino or something like that? Okay, so I'm gonna...
Yeah, she'd be an albino Amazonian warrior.
Yes.
I figure we probably have different colors of pastel eyes, and lots of them dye their hair. I don't know if she does. That's I definitely don't. Yeah, I'm just, yeah. I'm like pink-eyed and long white hair.
So I'm leaving.
The more you describe yourself, the more intimidated I am thinking about meeting this person.
She would be terrifying.
She would be pretty terrible.
Oh yeah, and she like keeps it up in like a scrunchie, which is somehow more intimidating. She does not. Girl, don't play.
Oh my gosh, she can totally pull off a scrunchie. Mm-hmm. I know. I didn't think anybody could pull off a scrunchie in this century.
That's great. So I'll just lean over a little bit more on the bar and say, hey, we're looking for an albino, kind of like that one over there with all the lights on her. have you seen anyone else like that?
Yeah, this albino sparkles more than the other one. I think it must be the lights.
Yeah, what's going on with your lights, man? It's getting really dark over here. I can't see my drink barely.
I know, maybe I should call the manager.
Nah, I'm sure it's fine.
No, there was totally another tall albino lady like her in here earlier, but she's, she ain't here no more.
Oh yeah? What happened? I'm fascinated, tell me.
As you like casually take a...
As I like just sort of, yeah.
Drink. So he'll kind of cast a quick glance around, and he'll kind of lean, and he's like, what's it worth to you?
Depends on how interesting the information is, man. I'm just after a story. It's like, no big, whatever.
And so he...
Real smooth.
And he'll kind of shrug, and he like pulls out a rag and like starts wiping down the bar. Doesn't say anything.
Oh my god. Okay, so I'll just put down my drink right in front of his rag, right as he's about to wipe, so my drink is just like right there. Bam. So if he keeps wiping, he's gonna tip it over. And then I'll reach in my pocket and I'll pull out a couple of space monies. Credits. Sure. We'll go with Star Wars. And not like we're, you know.
I was gonna say frimp notes.
Frimp notes. I love it. Yes.
And I'll just sort of casually set them next to the drink and be like, so thanks for the drink, man. But it's like, it's more than what the drink should have cost. I'm sure you got an interesting story there. Come on.
How much more? I'm just curious. How much more?
Let's see.
10 times.
I'm not sure how inflation works. So I'm going to say, how about like 4 times?
Okay. And so he'll brush away some crumbs on the other side, and then he'll, you know, very casually pocket the money and lean closer to you and say, well, I don't know exactly what happened, but all I know is that last chick left with that Killarney Jefferson over there, and no chick that leaves with Killarney Jefferson comes back. And he nods over to the guy with the half moon scar.
So she left with him, and then he came back without her. Mm.
Yeah.
The bartender jumped.
Oh wait. I'm just thinking in my head here. Whoops.
Do we have like comms or something?
Yeah. Do we have comms?
Do you have comms?
Yes, we totally have comms, Emily.
Tech guy.
Oh,
okay, sure. Yeah, I was overhearing the conversation Adelaine was having with the bartender, just overhearing it in my earpiece, and I just kind of made that comment, which she only heard. Well, I guess Lulu would have heard it too. But
well, I don't know where are our comms, guys, because that determines.
I suppose.
Do we have them in our ears all the time, or?
I was assuming like... because that's convenient for us at the moment.
Right. So, he seems to be back. So she just didn't come back with him. I vocalize his previous question over the comms.
Yeah, I don't know. You, we just tell people not to mess with the gambling guild. But they still do.
I go examine the drapes on the other side of the bar.
People turn away. You're just like grabbing their drapes and damning them, and like ducking back into the shadows.
So, yeah, the Gambling Guild, huh? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Pretty big on this planet. Man, I would not want to be somebody in debt to the Gambling Guild.
As I said, I'm in the shadows here.
I, like, turn around and, like, look for Zachary. Interesting. Do you happen to know, you know, just maybe as part of this interesting story that you're telling me, where their headquarters is by any chance?
Well, this guy's accent keeps going in and out. At one point, he had one. Their front is a large. Well, I mean, it's not so much as a front as sort of their main place. I don't know if what the headquarters are, but they've totally got a racing track. Different kinds of racing. They do some animal racing. They do some small craft racing, and they've got a little sort of.
Do they race hamsters? Do they race dire goats? Oh, please tell me they race goats, Emily. Please tell me they race goats.
No.
Please
send
tell
up.
Me they race.
Other people are listening
goats.
To this. They don't get our internal jokes.
I think it's hilarious, and I don't get it.
Yes, they wrote goats. They race goats with red eyes,
like little goats or regular sized goats.
Both. And they have like little teeny tiny ones.
Oh, no.
That are like toy sized goats that they
that's
race.
Too much, no.
Yeah. But yeah, so they've got a little like stadium where that happens.
Okay. So I've heard that Britannia was taken by these guys or left with these guys. So I want to. I have like a brace of pistols like in a silk. You know, like in a thing on the side, and I want to like touch his lapel, which is clearly pinstriped, right? Be like, oh, you know what? It would actually go with this, and then I pull that back, and there are these gorgeous, gorgeous pistols, that would perfectly match his aesthetic. They have like crescent moons on the side of the thing, and I'm like, ah, but you know what? You know what? I promise those to Britt. I'm supposed to be meeting my patrol officer. Have you seen anyone who looks like me? I'm supposed to be meeting her here. And, like, if she doesn't show, her partner's gonna check in soon. I hate him, so I really don't wanna. Sorry, I shouldn't be putting this all on you. But have you seen anyone that looks a little bit like her? And I'm, like, playing.
GM clarification. Mm-hmm. When you say patrol officer, are you insinuating that she's a cop?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, and so you're playing with what?
So I'm playing with the pistol and, like, showing it off and trying to be flashy and get his attention in. And I'm trying to, like, babble on about my life in the background while insinuating that this person is a cop and is going to have people looking for her. So I'm trying to, like, look for the spark of recognition. Like, hopefully he'll talk to me about this. But if not, I'm trying to... instill fear, so perhaps we might be able to follow them if they leave anytime soon.
That's a great idea.
Thanks.
I think there's many, many ways this should go, so I think I'm going to need a roll for this.
Sure, cool. Can I invoke my light, or do you think we've already used the light?
Do they...
No,
I think you can invoke
maybe
your
it'd
light.
Be, like, they'd feel on the spot, they're a little nervous for, like, everybody's attention is drawn to them,
Cool.
Yeah. Except for the group of nerds talking about who shot them. Their attention's not going to be pulled for anything.
Holy moly!
I wish I could see these. How do you add that?
Oh, I'm sorry. She just got a +6. That's why we all like, whoa!
Which is, in the words of the Ninth Doctor, fantastic. So as you're talking and you're sort of you happen to have a little gun that perfectly matches his pinstripe, and so that kind of catches his attention first, because not a lot of people wear pinstripe suits anymore in the future.
And they should. It looks fantastic on you,
right?
But as soon as you talk about another person who looks like you, he starts shifting a little bit nervously, not too badly, but it's really the guy who's sort of standing watch who you notice gets real nervous.
Sure.
When you start, talking about, you know, especially when you mentioned that she or insinuate that she's a cop. The guy, like, his he uncrosses his arms and, like, sticks his hand, like, awkwardly, like, in his pockets. Mm-hmm. And then is then it, like, tries to cross his arms again. And then the, you know his name now to be Killarney, kind of snaps at this guy again. He leans over and he whispers, and the that guy sort of nods and starts kind of very, very slowly making his way to like a back entrance, and it looks like he's about to leave. So Killarney's gonna he kind of leans back in his chair, and he says, so how much for that one? The one that matches his suit, of course.
Yeah, and I quote him a stupidly expensive thing. Let's see. I don't know. I have no... whatever the economy is in this, yeah, that's the price. I clearly sell them, like, undervalue, because nobody cares. Nobody buys from my shop. But I sell it for double what it would normally be worth.
All right, so he's gonna try to haggle with you.
Sure.
With your fantastic role, you realize that he is, he's trying to buy time.
Interesting. That's glance over. My friend is doing anything?
Would we have seen this gentleman leave? I mean, at this point, I think we've both been staring back at Lulu.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because all the light is on Lulu, and we're like, and that's the guy that took our contact.
How sneaky is Adeline?
One.
Me too. Well, I was thinking that at least somebody maybe could try to head out over to the back door or wherever that guy went and at least get an idea of where they were, direction or what they were doing. And I was thinking that maybe the lights again shining in their eyes would make it...
Oh, perfect.
Would make whoever it is a little more sneaky to where they're not noticed doing that.
Well, cool. Yes. I think that's great. And so then what I'm going to do to try to distract the people at the table from noticing that you guys are sneaking out after that guy is I'm going to give, like, the flashiest haggle anyone's ever seen. You know that, like, the, like, because I do have a business to run here. And if he wants to buy time, we're going to do this. So, yeah.
Right, so he started, you said basically twice of what it's actually worth. He quotes you, like, a fourth of that price.
Right, so I'm...
So, there's a lot of haggle room.
Yeah, there's a lot of haggle room, but I want to get him to worth and like, 20%. You know, that's my goal. So I'm going to try really hard to do that. And while doing that, I'm telling stories about where the mail came from. Very clearly hitting on him. And, like, giggling at his guys' jokes as they start to, like, join in the conversation. So that's it. If they want to buy time, we're going to use it to our advantage. I'm trying to turn that into an aspect.
An advantage,
yeah. An advantage for you guys. So that's going to be flashy.
Wow! Go, cat!
I got a plus four.
Yeah, so that'll succeed because their attention's pretty drawn. That was going to only be a fair roll. You're only going to need a plus two, so you did it by a plus four.
Cool.
You know, last time you did succeed with style. This time you just succeeded.
Right.
And so, yes, he is going to become, he's fairly engaged with you in this haggling. And definitely, and thank you for not making me roleplay this out, but definitely flirting back with you.
Okay. Cool.
Because he would flirt way better than I do, probably, in real life.
Yeah. Same with Lulu, but I'm not that good at it.
Sorry, go ahead.
So then at that point, before we lose track of this guy, Adeline is at least just going to sneak after him, and I think Zachary too, right?
Unless, I mean, would we both have to try to roll? Would it be safer just to have one? Would it be more likely to succeed if only one tried? I don't know.
Well, one of us will get to use that advantage if we need it, but you can always invoke an advantage like that after you've rolled, so you don't necessarily have to decide beforehand.
Gotcha.
So we could roll. I'm actually pretty comfortable with it because I also have an idea about what I can do if if I need to, so why don't you go for it?
Okay, I'll try to sneak.
And I'll see if I get to implement this crazy plan.
Tell me what your plan is later.
Well, the plan is that I want to head out to see where that guy went without these gambling guild folks noticing me doing so. So I'm hoping, you know, most of the lights are in their direction. There'll be a lot of shadows. I'll go the long way around the bar. I'll, you know, try to stay low behind other people. I'm not terribly sneaky, but I'll try to do it without drawing any attention to myself.
So you are, and so the obstacle is, the bar's buzzing a little bit, but people do seem to be focused on, you know, these bright lights and, you know, these two people over there. And there's this woman with who's very attractive with a lot of guns, which piques the interest of some people for one reason or another, or many. And so you're going to need a fair roll, a plus two or better.
Okay. And my sneaky's plus ones. So,
that didn't sound good.
Minus two on the roll. So negative ones. Total. I think I tripped over a bar chair or something.
Why don't you, if you just rolled like a bunch of negatives, why don't you use the advantage that Lulu made for us and just re-roll and see if you can get better?
Oh.
That's an awesome.
Okay.
Crossing our fingers.
And the exact same result.
Yeah, because she's drawing people's attention.
Oh, no!
No.
Okay, so, how about this?
Here's what I'm going to say, Zachary. Go ahead and fail, because I have an idea.
But they want me. And
no,
and
no,
not
no,
in a good
no,
way.
No. It's going to be fine. It's going to be... Don't you trust me?
Well, I try...
I imagine they're having this discussion over the comms, like, while Zachary's like, am I about to run into this?
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay. All right. We'll see what you can do. I'll fail.
Right, okay. So Zachary is like, I'm assuming he's coming up to the bar to sneak around the bar and like trips over a stool by me. So what I do is I go, I just turn and I look at him and I go, hey buddy, watch where you're going. And then I toss the rest of my drink into the face of the patron who's behind me as if it was like a punch or something that was thrown at me so that he gets angry at me. So basically what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to start a bar fight.
Yes.
And then I am hoping that in the confusion that Zachary and I are just going to like sneak out the back door.
So this, I think, is creating an advantage of bar fight.
Yes.
Because you're not really attacking this person.
No, I'm just tossing the rest of my drink in his face over my shoulder.
Right. So I think that's going to be, that's not going to be hard in this place. It's a little rough and tumble. So you're going to need a plus one or better.
Okay, I'm assuming that this is flashy, because...
This sounds fairly...
That's just what I'm going for. So let's see. So that's 8 plus 3, and... Oh, okay, well, plus three.
Hey, so you succeed, and so you throw this, the blue alcoholic milk into the sky.
It's blue mutter's milk. That's what it is.
he turns around and starts kind of chittering at you in an alien language. And somebody leans over and says, he doesn't like your face.
Well, it's not my fault, man. He ran into me and then my drink went everywhere. He owes me a drink. You owe me a drink. And I'm just going to start, like, pushing so that hopefully it, like,
he's like,
dominoes.
I don't like your face either. So you push him and he, you push that guy into the alien guy, and then it just knocks down a bunch of bar stools. And the bar, like, the last guy at the bar, like, knocks into somebody in the band.
Yes.
And they, like, all fall over, but the music keeps going.
And they were clarinet syncing the music.
Yeah, and all of a sudden everybody gets really mad that the music wasn't live and starts throwing punches. So you have successfully created advantage of bar fight happening.
Okay, my plan from here is to try to grab Zachary and make a run for the back door in the confusion.
Seems fine to me.
I think that's a good plan. Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like that should be actually pretty straightforward to do now that the whole bar is just
fine. Is Lulu good to get out on her own?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, right, you got like, the arsenal.
We're headed out the back door.
Yeah, I give you like a little wave off of the thing as I, you know, like twirl his goatee. Gross.
Yeah, oh my god, it's so slimy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Apparently, he's not distracted. He's not really distracted by the bar fight. He's pretty absorbed in what's happening. Well, at least you know his type now.
Apparently.
Maybe.
Cool, so we're running out the back door.
I feel like you can run, you know, you can leave pretty easily, but you... So you run out the same door that the guy in the suit has went through, and he's nowhere in sight. However, it's a dusty planet.
Oh, good. Is this a not a very well-used alley, hopefully?
Maybe. Maybe y'all need to think of an approach to this challenge.
Well, it seems like we could probably be pretty clever and try to just track those footprints in the dust. What do you think, clever hacker man?
Oh, look, I have a plus +3.
I thought you might.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Oh, okay. 2.
So you see some footsteps. You see sort of the direction they're going mm-hmm. off. You don't see, it gets to the first crossroads, though, and it kind of disappears a little bit. But you think you can follow it. It looks like the footsteps are going towards the racing stadium. At least you assume that's what this giant thing in the middle of the city is, because there's a large flashing sign that says racing stadium.
With a picture of a goat, and its eyes flash on and off in red lights. Please tell me yes.
And a picture of like a little tiny spacecraft. There's like a little spaceship, and then it like flings something and flies away and something blows up.
Like the Christmas lights thing? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Can we jog in that presumed direction for like a block or two and then look around to see if there's any more sign?
Are you trying to be, and I don't mean this in this approach way. I mean this just in the general, like, are you trying to be sneaky? Like, do you guys have hoods up?
At this point.
Or are you just kind of just going?
I'll be honest, I don't think that I do sneaky. Like, not having it as an approach, I think I just don't do sneaky. I think the way that I handle this stuff is exactly what I just did. Bar fight and we're gone. Like, it's just... So, I'm definitely just, like, striding down the street. Maybe saying hello to passersby if they look friendly.
Yeah, I can't think of any particular reason to try to, you know, be especially sneaky. I mean, I suppose there might be people who recognize me. I'm not sure. At this point, I'm like, maybe they went over there to the exploding goats.
Now it's the goats that are exploding. I love it.
Oh, or something's exploding.
If it looks like his footsteps are headed to the racing track, that's absolutely where the bartender told me their base of operations kind of is. So,
I missed that.
You know, I think we could just head right over there and see what we can see. But
did you pick that up, Lulu?
Are we picking up from Lulu, like, where she is in this haggling conversation?
Yeah, how's the haggling going? Have I made the sale, or?
Well, he seems to, he's probably a very good haggler in real life. Let me start over. He's probably a very good haggler in real life. But he's probably not used to people twirling his goatee while haggling. And so he seems to be not on his game. So he ends up at about, you guys are ending up what seems to be about 75% of the price you originally asked
okay.
for.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's great. As soon as I get the... So we do the exchange. So I sell him a gun. I absolutely sell him a gun. Yeah. And then start to pack up my wares.
So, and it's sort of as your, the bodyguards are essentially like, we kind of need to, you know, there's a bar fight happening, dude. Like, are we going to leave? What are we going to do? And so he kind of, you know, he downs the last of his triple whiskey mm-hmm. or whatever they have. I assume they still have whiskey in the future because life would be sad if they didn't. And he, as you're packing up, he like puts his hand on your thigh and invites you along with them.
Interesting.
I feel really skeezy saying that.
No, you're
that.
Fine. You're
lie.
Fine. You know, I'd love to. I Like, I really, really would. It's just, again, as I said, my parole officer. Like, I really have to stick around until she shows up. I can't, you know, I can't risk the strike on my record again. So, but maybe we can hook up later. Do you have, like, do you have digits?
Oh my gosh. In the future, what will these? So he's got a little, they don't do business cards in the future. They have business implants.
Okay.
And so he, like, taps his wrist implant against your wrist implant, and, like, his contact info is shared with you.
Great. Perfect. So they're leaving?
So, yeah, they're gonna leave. Cool.
Yeah, so I'm gonna, let them leave, and, after they, like, clear the bar, common to you guys. How's it going?
Well, we're on our way to the stadium. It looks like maybe that's where that first guy went.
Yeah. I don't know, but the guys from the bar might be headed there now, too. Where do you guys want me?
You want to come catch up with us? We're about a block away, but we'll stop over here in an alley and we'll just catch you.
Okay, cool.
Do you think you can get here quickly?
I'll double time. See you in a few.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Lulu. You're the best.
Yeah, let's step to the side and watch these guys see if they pass us.
So I'm gonna throw a little bit of a wrench in things. I'm going to throw out one of our first compels.
Oh, gosh.
So a compel is when the GM uses the trouble aspect essentially against the characters, and the person can choose either to accept or reject the compel, of course. But if you accept it, you get an additional fate point, which comes in handy. So Travis, you are in debt / wanted by the gambling guild. And your party is currently on their way to their headquarters. Do you feel compelled to not go to those headquarters?
That wasn't the one I thought she was going to do. I'm actually quite relieved.
Well, now I'm going to text me what you thought.
Oh, no, I'm not telling.
Dang.
I'd rather not walk in the front door. I might be willing to try to surreptitiously help out. Well, I wouldn't be terribly useful if I didn't tag along. All right, I'll give up a fate point. And I shall steel myself and walk into the dragon's den.
Thank you for listening to episode 1 of She's a Super Geek. If you liked what you heard, please consider leaving us a rating and review on iTunes. You can also find us on our website, sasgeek.com, Twitter, sasgeekpodcast, and Facebook and Google by searching She's a Super Geek. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be releasing new episodes every other Tuesday, so tune in 2 weeks to hear more of the adventures of Lulu, Zachary, and Adelaine. Until next time, may the geek be with you.